I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome in to Slapshot Radio, the summer season on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. We are all about the qualifying round and the Preds Coyotes as we talk to Coyotes radio voice Bob Heathouse, brought to you by day one sponsor Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries Nashville, with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. And yes, it's July, and there has to be drama in the desert. We're going to talk about that and much more. Our co-host, former NHL coach, former NHL player, current all-around good egg, Brent Peterson. Coach, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
How many today?
Just 18.
Just 18?
Yeah, I had to do the lawn in the
afternoon. Okay. He did 18 and the lawn. Either one of those would have wiped me out completely. And, of course, our second co-host, an all-around good egg as well, Zach McCann. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, excited that we are less than a week away from meaningful Predators hockey.
It's hockey eve right now.
Oh, for exhibitions, yeah,
exhibition
sure,
tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me? I mean, for a hockey fan, you're going to be sitting here. I mean, I can't wait. I've got my tablet ready. I've got everything ready to go. I've got it in a nice inconspicuous place on my desk so I can watch,
unfit
the first
to work.
Game. Yep. I am unfit to work tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm really going to be unfit to work on the first,
second.
Did you go in
and do all
part.
Those promos you had to do for the Jumbotron there? And,
yeah. Did quite a bit of recording.
Good. That's great.
So we're going to be having, you'll hear some familiar things when the Preds play.
Perfect.
When they have the home games. And actually, we're going to be doing some more recording on Thursday. Because we're doing a big, and if you're not familiar, make sure you tune in Thursday at noon on Facebook Watch or Twitch or all the Predators social media. We are having like this, a Facebook Watch party, basically. Myself, Kara Hammer, JP Dumont, going to be hosting it. Should be a good time, so make sure you join us on Facebook, on Twitch, on Twitter, on Insta, whatever. All of them, you name it. If it's a social media thing, we're on it. So make sure you join us on that. That's going to be fun. So, again, if it's summertime, there has to be drama in the desert. Holy heavens. I mean, you know, sometimes you wonder how a franchise can snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, but somehow the Arizona Coyotes continue to figure it out. For those of you that have not heard, the general manager of the Arizona Coyotes was quit. Or perhaps he fired himself, or perhaps he, walked. No one knows exactly what went on, but there's a new sheriff as an interim GM in Arizona, a familiar name. Coach Steve Sullivan is the brand new interim GM of the Arizona Coyotes.
Yes, he is. And his second player to Tommy Fitzgerald was the first one to be a GM, and we have two GMs that used to play for us, and they're both good people, and they know the game, and they're very good at what they do. So that he'll have a successful time at it. I think I texted Stevie last night and said, "Congratulations! Just you can't beat us." He said he called me back and said, "Appreciate it, and good luck to you guys sometimes." Or something like that.
It was funny.
It does make you wonder, like, how that relationship is between David Poile and players that he either traded for or drafted, and now they're all grown up general managers and co-workers with him.
Well, I mean, look, the funny thing about it is people talk about different coaching trees. Right. You had the George Seifert tree in the NFL, or the Mike Holmgren
tree.
Mike
Holmgren, yeah.
But, in the National Hockey League, if you look at the GMs, past and present, that worked for David Poile, I mean, you know, you're looking at Ray Sherrill, oh, by the way, who won a Stanley Cup.
Right.
You're looking at Tommy Fitzgerald. You're now looking at Steve Sullivan. You're looking at Paul Fenton,
right.
You know, even though it wasn't the most successful.
Jeff Kelty.
I mean, you look at all of these. I mean, it's interesting.
You know, it is funny, though. You malign Paul Fenton, but I don't think they're in the playoffs right now without that Kevin Fiala for Granlund trade.
Oh, no question. No, I don't disagree with that. Yeah. I don't disagree with that at all.
You know, you don't malign Paul Fenton for his – it's just all the off-the-ice stuff that everybody said he did. He was great at what he did. He was a good scout. He was a good assistant GM. He did the right things. He just had some problems with relationships in Minnesota. So, and that was – might not have been his fault, but that's what happened, and he got fired. But he deserved that job to get that job right away anyways.
And I agree. That was a heck of – it was a heck of a trade. And, you know, and you look at it now – you know, a couple of years later, and you go, all right, dude, you know, this is where you really say, okay, you know, Mikael Granlund, here we go.
Yeah.
You've got an opportunity right now. And to be brutally honest, I think Granlund has been a much better player under John Hines than he was under Peter Laviolette.
Oh, that's for sure. And the other trade that David made that Fenton wanted him to do was a Forsberg deal, and that was a pretty good deal, wasn't it?
Oh, that's how that turned out all right.
That was the general manager for Washington,
McPhee
said, we want Marty Erat. The first thing, gave him an elbow and said, we'll take Forsberg back, and that's how it happened.
I'll be darned.
Wow.
Man, you know, and you look at that and go, so again, the situations have to be right.
Right, exactly.
We know that. Yeah. And again, you know, you look at what happened at the end, and unfortunately, it didn't seem to be a good fit in Minnesota.
Exactly.
You know, which again, you know, you're right. I don't want to malign the man. That's not what I was trying to do. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the tree,
yeah.
I mean, David Poile's at the roots right here. I mean, you have to give him credit.
He's training three more right now with Kelty, Nickel, and his own son, Brian, who's done a great job for him.
Correct.
We've got really good management in the hockey ops.
And, you know, and you look at that, and you see what this franchise has done. And I'm sorry, you can draw that comparison to the absolute chaos in Glendale right now. And I have to be honest. I thought that I thought that too much dirty laundry was brought out in that statement from the Arizona Coyotes. I mean, you know, you go ahead and said, all right, it didn't work out, and you move on. But that was some pretty blunt stuff.
Yeah, I mean, let's just say if there was any, you know, remnants of a bridge there, it's just ashes at this rate, because goodness gracious, the Arizona Coyotes come out and emphatically say that he gave up on the team, gave up on the staff, gave up on the fans.
Yeah, he said he quit.
Yeah, and he just quit on them is what they're saying. And, I mean, you know, congratulations to Steve Sullivan, but the question is, a lot of rumors flying out there that John Chayka was approached by another team for a position and sought permission to speak with them, and now it turns into a big game of he says, she says, they say, whatever.
I hope we got it in writing. We were talking about that earlier. You needed to get that in writing, because, you know, they always come back on you if you don't get that in writing. Like, you need permission to go talk to anybody. You're an employee of the Phoenix or the Arizona Coyotes.
Yo, sure.
You can't talk to anybody, and you have to go to the—
absolutely.
You have to go and get permission, and he apparently got permission, and then they reneged on it. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know what happened.
Coach, my question for you is, do you think this holds any impact whatsoever in the series?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think Tockett's in charge of the players, and he does a great job. He does a real good job with their team, and they're going to be tight-checking. They're going to be hard. They're going to be frustrating to play against, and that's what he likes. And he learned a lot in Pittsburgh from those guys that coached in Pittsburgh, and he's now a head coach, and he does a good job. He got him in the playoffs this year. I guess everybody he got in the playoffs because he finished in 11th there. But I don't think Steve Sullivan will make a big difference for or against. I think they'll do just fine, and they'll be tough to play against, and they have good goaltending. They got their team all set, and the GM is going to be somewhere else, I guess.
I almost feel like this is kind of a boon being in the bubble, because it's not like you're going to have the media asking questions of the players in this case, true. All about the general manager situation.
Just fly by the by everybody's head, over everybody's head.
Yeah, that, you know, and I think that's an advantage, absolutely. So you have that information, and you know what? We didn't get a chance to talk about this, the announcement last week, and I have to tell you, whoever the public address announcer for the new Seattle NHL franchise will be, if his signature call is not "release the Kraken," if that's not what it is.
What is a Kraken?
It is a mythical sea creature that is not unlike a sea dragon, essentially. This has been your Zach's Nerd Corner. essentially, it's considered like a, I believe it's Norse in its origin, but I mean, I think it's a great name. The logos are
logos
awesome.
Phenomenal. The color scheme is excellent.
It's beautiful.
They really knocked it. Yeah. You know, it's funny. As disappointed as I was with Vegas's name and color scheme, all of that, I was really disappointed. I didn't find it that good. Is just as blown away as I am by this color scheme, this design. The jersey is gorgeous. The and the secondary logo. I love the secondary logo
as a trident
with an anchor with a space needle on it. It really, really was inspired. It was, and honestly, I love the name.
Yeah,
I was afraid they were going to go with Sockeyes or, you know, something stupid.
Totems was this Western
League. I'd have been okay with Totems.
Yeah, because they're Western League Totems.
I'd have been okay with Thunderbirds. Right. I mean, classic Seattle name.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I would have been okay with that. But I thought they just knocked it out of the park with this one.
I think avoiding anything Native American right now, considering the landscape in sports, is probably a good call. So,
said by the Washington football team. So, I mean, it's going to be it's going to be fun to watch this team develop. I mean, and I think, honestly, if you look at this, if the NHL kind of needed a financial lifeline, I mean, look, let's face it, this, you know, what's going on right now is expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, and that expansion money is not going to hurt.
Oh, it's going to help them out.
No question about that. Well, we are off and running here on Slapshot Radio. And you know what? They've been with us since day one of the show. The premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio, Doctors Jane Bacon and Aileen Kruger over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. What a great staff. A comfortable environment. They make it so easy to get your dental needs taken care of. All the latest in dental technology. And I'm telling you, you feel incredibly safe going in there, the way they handle you, the way they take care of how you wait for the appointment, all of it really, really well done. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com or call them for an appointment at 872-7762. That's 872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We Brighten Smiles. Welcome back. Not bad. Kenny is on it tonight. Kenny is on it. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5, the game, Nashville's best sports talk. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann coming at you. And, man, I'm looking forward. I haven't talked to this guy in a while. It's great to have him back on Slapshot Radio, ladies and gentlemen. The radio voice of the Arizona Coyotes is Bob Heathouse. Bob, welcome back to Slapshot Radio.
Paul, thank you very much. It's my pleasure. Always great to talk to you, and hello to Brent as well. And just like you guys, I'm very excited, obviously, to get her going here pretty quick. The Coyotes and the Preds coming up at the end of the week.
It should be fun. I mean, after all, it literally is Hockey Eve right now with the exhibition game starting tomorrow. So it's going to be a fascinating series, Bob. What's the take in the desert right now? I mean, you know, how are the fans feeling about this team heading into this qualifying round?
I believe they're excited. You know, it's been so long since we've seen NHL hockey. The Coyotes had a really good first half this year. Obviously, had some injuries and a little bit of an offensive slump down the stretch, and they were kind of just under the cut at the time of the pause. But the Coyotes fans were very excited all season long. They had hoped that they would see a team that made the postseason for most of the year, the regular year. They thought they were going to see one, and then after this long pause, they will. So the Coyotes will be in the postseason for the first time, obviously, since 2012. And the Coyotes are really happy about that, certainly, and their fans are jacked up as well. So a lot of excitement here in the desert, and a lot of excitement among us broadcasters as well. You know, obviously, just like you guys and your broadcast crews on television and radio, my good friend Pete won't be there, but we're going to be able to call the games anyway, and that's still exciting.
We're on Slapshot Radio with Bob Heathouse, the radio voice of the Arizona Coyotes. Brent?
Hi, Bob. Just wanted to know a little bit about one player on your team, Phil Kessel. How's he been doing? He's always been a good player against the Predators every time he plays. He played us in the finals 2 years, 3 years ago, and just wondering how he was doing, how he's come along.
Well, Brent, it's great to talk to you, and Phil is hanging in there. You know, he had kind of a regular season. His statistics were far below what he's used to producing. After the pause came out, he was in a couple of interviews and revealed that it was the most injury plague season that he has ever endured. Of course, he's got that long consecutive games played streak going. It's about 840 some, I think. So he didn't want to come out of the lineup, and none of the injuries were severe enough to where he had to come out, but apparently he played with a lot of nagging injuries all season long, and things just didn't really click for him that much with the Coyotes. He was tried with several different line mates, and I think, you know, certainly there's a lot of pressure for him coming to the desert from Pittsburgh after he was a big part of those back-to-back Stanley Cup championship teams, and a lot of expectations, and he had a little bit of a rough first regular season, but obviously that's over now. Phil's healthy. He looks very good in training camp, I thought, this latest training camp. And on a line now with Carl Soderberg on the left side and Nick Schmaltz in the middle and, of course, Kessel on the right. And the Coyotes are hoping that he's the typical playoff Phil Kessel, where in those back-to-back Pittsburgh Stanley Cup years in 2016 and 17, he had 22 points and 23 points, respectively, helping to lead their team. And that first Stanley Cup, of course, and actually both of them, he was teammates with the Preds, Nick Bonino. And in 2016, I think it was Bonino, Kessel, and I believe Carl Hagelin that really had a great playoff. So it'll be interesting to see Kessel against Bonino in this one, and one of many tie-ins that the Coyotes and Predators have. But long answer to your question, Brent. Kessel disappointed with his regular season, healthy now, and looking to improve on that and be Phil Kessel like we've seen him throughout his career in the playoffs. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, the reason why I asked was that we have comparison to Johansson, who had a sort of off year, and now he's expecting to go through the break here, and he had 4 months off, and he's expected to just jump it up. And I knew Phil had a tough year, but he just let him go on to I'm glad to hear he's doing okay, and I hope he doesn't play very well against us, though.
Well, if you don't.
Yeah, you know, we have to have that a little bit, Bob. Hey, meet Zach, right. our second co-host. Zach, say hi to Bob.
Hi, Bob. So,
Zach, how are you?
Doing excellent. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. You know, when you talk about the Arizona Coyotes, we hear a lot about Taylor Hall. We hear a lot about Phil Kessel. But one player who seems to kind of skirt under the radar somewhat undeservedly is second-year captain Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Talk about what he brings to this team and what his leadership style does for a somewhat young Coyotes team.
Well, Zach, Oliver, you know, has really been a stalwart for the Coyotes for several years, and he touches so much of the game, and, you know, Brent knows all about this. When, as a former coach, I'm sure he's seen Oliver a lot, and not to the extent perhaps that Roman Josi does for the Preds, but Oliver Ekman-Larsson, you know, fills that role for the Coyotes. He's the team's best two-way defenseman, averages about 25, 26 minutes a night out there on the first power play unit and out there against the other team's top forward line. And this year did not have the statistical season that Oliver's used to having. You know, he's had a couple of 20-goal seasons with the Coyotes in years past from the blue line. Like Phil Kessel, you know, Oliver revealed that he was injured throughout the year. He underwent a minor knee surgery procedure just prior to the regular season this year, missed some of training camp, and apparently that kind of lingered with him throughout the year. But he played through it, really is a guy that is the guts and glue of the Coyotes team and defensively. I think you look at Oliver and you look at Kessel, Those are two veteran players that really need to play well in this series for the Coyotes to have success. Oliver had a good training camp as well. Rick Tocchet, the Coyotes head coach, had a lot of praise for him, saying that Oliver really kind of led the practices in terms of his leadership and being very vocal and seemed to have a lot of jump. So the Coyotes are certainly optimistic about Oliver, but certainly Zach, Oliver Ekman-Larsson is a key player for this Coyotes team and their best defense.
Yeah, we've talked about the blue line. We've talked about the forwards. The one place we haven't gone is between the pipes. There's a lot of similarities between these two teams, and one of them is a goaltender controversy. Who do you think gets the nod for the Coyotes?
Well, Paul, it's going to be Darcy Kuemper. You know, he was one of the top goalies in the league, really, before he got injured. He went down on the 19th of December with a groin injury in a Coyotes home loss against Minnesota. And going into that game, he was 15-7-2 with a 1.97 goals against average and a .935 save percentage. So he was, you know, early on one of the Vezina Trophy candidates, maybe even a favorite before suffering that mid-December injury. He missed 28 games, came back in late February and played just a handful of games prior to the pause. But he was definitely the Coyotes' MVP, and I think that they really feel that with him in goal that they have a really good chance if he's healthy and ready to go. Antti Raanta, certainly a very good goaltender as well, and when Kuemper was out, unfortunately, Raanta was hurt a lot as well, but then when he was healthy, there was a stretch when he really played great in goal. So, you know, the Coyotes feel that they have a really, really good goaltending tandem. They're comfortable with either player in there. But right now, definitely, Darcy Kuemper is number one going into this series.
We got time for one more question. Zach?
Now, Bob, I guess my question for you is, who is a player that Predators fans are going to unfortunately have their eye on in this series? Who's someone who might be flying under the radar who you think is going to feast on Nashville?
Well, I don't know if anyone's going to feast on the Predators. You know, we hope that they might, but I think history tells us that this is a very close series. These two teams, I think, are evenly matched, and they've had a lot of great games against one another. I look for two names that really, I think, are maybe poised to have a really good playoff. Number one is the Coyotes' leading goal scorer, Connor Garland. Even though he's the leading goal scorer, not many people outside of the desert really know about Connor. He's a small guy that had tremendous success in his junior career in the Quebec Major Hockey League. I think he had two scoring championships, but drafted late in the fifth round by the Coyotes and spent a few years in the minors. And all of a sudden in 2018-19, he got the recall and was able to have a little bit of success. He played in, maybe over 40 games. My memory is not quite right now, but in 40-plus games, he had about 13 goals. So he kind of burst down the scene, but then this year really became a key player for the Coyotes, led them with 22 goals, and just a guy that despite his size, he's about 5'8 or 9, 165 pounds. He really is fearless. He goes into the corners. He goes to the net, and he's really great on his skates in terms of his edge work and really a fun player to watch with great offensive instincts. He plays on the right wing on the Coyotes' first line with Christian Dvorak in the middle and Taylor Hall on the left. So I would say watch for Connor Garland and also Clayton Keller. Keller, number one pick for the Coyotes back in 2016. He was a Calder Trophy finalist after the 17-18 season and kind of inconsistent after that. This year, I believe he had 44 points, but again, some inconsistency. He was really good in this training camp. In fact, Rick Tocchet praised him as being the Coyotes' most consistent player, led the team in the scrimmages with five goals. So maybe Clayton Keller might be someone who might break out in this series and finally realize his immense talent. The way he's a former college teammate of Dante Fabro. So those guys are our good buddies from Boston University.
Going to be a good series. We know it, Bob. And, you know, the good thing about it is we're going to get good. I mean, you're going to get almost morning hockey in Arizona. We're going to get afternoon hockey in Nashville. And have a great call. Really enjoy it. And thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate appreciate you having me. It's always great to talk hockey with you, and it should be a great series. Best of luck to the Preds. Not too much luck, but let's hope that it's a really close series, and we have a lot of fun.
We can certainly agree with that, because we'll say best of luck to former Predator Steve Sullivan, the new the interim GM of the Arizona Coyotes, and the Coyotes. Best of luck, but not too much over the next week and a half. So, Bob, again, thanks so much for joining us, and have a really good evening.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Bob Heathouse, the radio voice of the Arizona Coyotes, joining us on Slapshot Radio. And we're going to be back. Yes, it is time for crackpot prediction time on Slapshot Radio. We're going to call every one of these series, and you just make sure that you follow our advice, do the exact opposite, and maybe you might win some money. We're back on Slapshot Radio right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, I like it. you had to get that little boom boom in there, didn't you? Didn't you get it? Alrighty, it's time. We're bringing the lightning. We're bringing the thunder. But we're not predicting the lightning because they're not playing in this round. But we have got eight series to open up our rather murky crystal balls. And, boy, that sounded bad. And let's make some predictions here. We have got, in the Eastern Conference, the 8-9 matchup, Zach, Toronto, Columbus.
You know, as much as I would love to pick the Blue Jackets, I think last year they used up all that Cinderella magic on the Lightning. And I can't pick against Toronto. They're too loaded up front. I think their defense is probably worse than Columbus, just because I think Columbus boasts one of the best pairings in the league, not named Yossi and Ellis and Seth Jones and Zach Werenski. But the difference to me is between the pipes. They're not sure if they're going with Korpisalo or Merzlikins in Columbus. Freddie Anderson is pretty darn good, and I think Toronto takes this one in four games.
Toronto in four.
I think Columbus is going to win only because of Torts. The coach, I think he'll just do a great job, and he'll have his guys. He's got his guys playing great hockey the whole year. They had injuries all year. Now they have everybody back. That might not be very good to have everybody back, but to have everybody back is terrific for them. And
yep.
I just think Torts will be a good. I think it'll be Columbus in five.
Columbus in five, going the distance. I'm actually going to go with Columbus in four. I was really going back and forth on this one. I think Torts is a difference maker. And here's the other thing. The Blue Jackets, with all of the injuries, all of the adversity they faced in the regular season, they finished with 81 points, tied with the Toronto Maple Leafs at 81 points, both with the exact same points percentage. I'm going with Toronto on this one in four. Columbus in four. So let's move on. Okay, so it looks like Zach's on the island on himself on Toronto. But
happy
that's
to
okay.
be there.
That's okay. And so next, the Islanders and the Panthers. Coach, what do you got?
I got the Islanders just because of their experience they've had in the last little while, and their goaltending is not going to be as good, but Lerner was really good last year, or 2 years ago, but I think Barry's going to get him going, and these guys are excited about playing, and I've talked to him about it, and I just think that they'll beat Florida. Florida's going to have a better team, and they're coached well by Joel Quenneville, but I just think the Islanders will win in five.
Zach?
You know, I mean, those are all good points, but I absolutely agree with you. I do think the Islanders are going to win the series. As much as I like Sergei Bobrovsky, I still think he's got that Columbus stink on him, and I just don't see it happening against an excellent New York Islanders team. I think between Varlamov and Greiss, they have the better goaltending tandem. And not only that, Matt Barzal is a star in this league, and he will announce his presence with a force in this series as the sweep.
And going for the sweep. And now, you know, and here's the thing. The reason why I want to go with the Islanders is basically both of what you said there. Also, they get Cizikas back in the lineup. Right. That gives them one of the deeper center lineups in the Eastern Conference beyond Pittsburgh. Johnny Boychuk, Adam Pellick, both back in the lineup. So, I mean, it's hard to pick against the Islanders. So what the heck? Panthers in four. I think Bobrovsky's going to make the difference in that
one. You know, I think if it's not Bobrovsky, it's Alexander Barkov.
You could very well be. You're absolutely right there. And besides, I couldn't agree with the both of you. Anyway, next, Carolina and the New York Rangers. They are the ones that get the whole thing started on Saturday afternoon. So, Zach, Canes or Blue Shirts?
Let's ride with the Jerks. I think that defense is absolutely terrific. I think the offense is going to be lights out, led by Sebastian Aho. The only question I have for them is Peter Mrazek up to the task? I'm not sure. I think they have a date with Robin Leonard next year.
Is it Mrazek, do you think?
I do think it's Mrazek.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I'm not sure. Could be.
I mean, Reimer's healthy. He's back. I mean, it could be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you have very interesting situations all around the league, honestly, with goaltending tandems.
Well, especially in the Rangers, if you think about it. I mean, you've got King Henrik, who has owned the Carolina Hurricanes, and they're not sure who's going to start this one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, they've got an excellent young backup, and is it Shishkinov? I can't remember if that's his name or not. Yeah. But honestly, I have to go with Carolina in this case. I think that defensive depth is just too hard to ignore. Carolina in four.
Coach?
I'm going to go the other way. I think the Rangers have owned the Chiefs.
Who owned the Chiefs?
They owned the Carolina. They've owned Carolina all year, and for some reason, it's just like us playing St. Louis. We beat them all the time. They come in, St. Louis comes in with a 10-game winning streak. We come in losing, and we beat them two nights in a row. So I just think the Rangers are confident. They're playing very well at the end of the year. They're playing great at the end of the year, or at the end of the before the pause. And I just think they'll upset that. I think the Hurricanes are a great team, but I just think the Rangers will upset them in four.
You know, at this point, I'm going to have to go. I got to go with Carolina in this one. This is a team that, to me, you hate to use the D word so early before we even drop the puck on the playoffs. But this is a team that I think has some destiny behind them, and I think they go ahead and win. And I honestly think this is going to be a sweep. I don't think it's going to be close. So let's go. The marquee matchup of the qualifying round in the Eastern Conference: the number 12 seed Montreal Canadiens and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Coach?
Pittsburgh all the way. I don't think Montreal has a chance. I mean, Carey Price would be the only chance they ever had, and I don't think he can do it by himself, and I think Pittsburgh's just too good. They have good goaltending, they have solid defense, and they have great forwards, so I'm going to go with Pittsburgh in five.
So, Zach? You gonna get contrary on us?
No, I'm not, actually. I think Pittsburgh is absolutely going to demolish Montreal. I think it's going to be four games because Carey Price might steal one.
Right.
I think you've got a healthy Crosby. You've got a healthy Malkin. And that two alone are going to allow them
Gensel
to
Gensel back, too.
Yeah.
Gensel back.
Gensel's back in the lineup. That's big for them. Honestly, is this the first time that the Pittsburgh Penguins have headed into a playoff season fully healthy?
Maybe it works against them. The only question for me in Pittsburgh is in net.
Well, I was going to go there because you've got, once again,
you've got one A and one B.
Pittsburgh goes in once again. I mean, think about the two cup runs where it was either Fleury or Murray.
Right.
Now you've got Murray and Murray and Jerry. So, I mean,
Fleury,
you know.
Murray and Jerry.
I don't know. I mean, I think it is. Honestly, Montreal seems to be the sexy pick, and especially among the Canadian broadcasters, so the heck with them. No, I'm not picking Montreal. I am picking the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I am picking that in a sweep. I picked two sweeps.
Wow.
Two sweeps in the Eastern Conference.
I picked three five-gamers.
you went the distance a couple of times. So now we're going to move over to the West right now. And we're going to start off with the 5-12, the homestanding Edmonton Oilers versus the Chicago Blackhawks. To me, this is one of the most fascinating series of the entire first round. Zach?
I disagree. I don't think there's much that's fascinating about it, honestly, because I think Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid are going to run roughshod over the Chicago Blackhawks, and I don't think it's going to be close.
I agree. I agree with that. I take the Edmonton Oilers over the Chicago Blackhawks. Chicago had a real good year. They really came back.
Yeah.
But they've got an older Keith and older Seabrook.
Seabrook's not even playing.
I know. Older Keith and older players, and goaltending is questionable at times. And I just don't think – and Edmonton has some questions too, but those two guys are the greatest two players in the world right now, and they're just playing so well. And I think Edmonton's going to win in four.
You know, it is hard to argue with that, especially when you look at the Edmonton special teams have been absolutely lethal this year. There's power plays tops in the league. They're second on the penalty kill. I mean, you've got the top two scorers from the regular season. You know, what the heck? Let's load on the expectations. I say Edmonton in four as well.
Yep.
All right, we're gonna skip that. That 6-11 matchup. We're gonna skip that for right now. We'll get back to that one. But another one that I find really, really interesting is the 7-10 matchup in the West, and the last one we'll do in this segment. Vancouver and Minnesota. Vancouver, as far as I'm concerned, completely surprising that they're there. And Minnesota with a head coach again with a Nashville Predators pedigree. You know, Dean Evason now having the interim taken off. This one's going to be, I think it's going to be a fascinating series and maybe a lot closer than a lot of people think. Zach?
You know, this is one where I think what you're going to see is a game of can you top this between Kevin Fiala and Mikael Granlund in their respective series. I think Minnesota is going to take Vancouver for a walk during this series, though. Honestly, I do like Vancouver's young core. Mm-hmm. I just think that between the pipes and Alex Stalock, I think you have an excellent defensive core. And now you have someone who can break the game in Kevin Fiala with the Minnesota Wild. I think Wild and four.
Coach?
I'm going to go exactly the opposite.
All right.
I love it. We either got to burn this tape or...
Oh, no, this is going to be fun.
Yep.
No, I think Vancouver's just a good young team, and they're coming. They have Besser, and those guys are great players, and they're not just good players. They're great players already, and they're young, and they're excited, and their goaltending has been good for them at times.
Oh, Jacob Markstrom's excellent.
He's been really well. So, and I just think Minnesota's old, and I love Dean Evason's good friend, but I can't stand Minnesota. I just can't stand even looking at him.
Oh, I didn't say I like him.
Yeah. You know, I think Markstrom's return is huge.
It is.
For Vancouver. Yeah. Because remember, I mean, what, Markstrom went down, heck, I mean, I can't remember when he went down, but it's halfway through the season after really posting some amazing numbers. I mean, this is going to be I think this is going to be a really hard-fought series. I think this is going to be not the score fest that people think. If it does come down to a defensive battle, I have to give Minnesota the advantage on that, as much as I hate to do that. But when it all comes down, I think Markstrom being back is a huge issue. I think the Canucks don't realize where they're at right now. I think they're a year ahead of their development. They're playing with house money, and I think Vancouver wins in five.
I got Vancouver in four.
And four. All right. Well, we got two more series to talk about, and we're going to do that when we come back right here on Slapshot Radio. I'll just let the Steely Dan go, man. Little Larry Carlton solo. Oh, yeah. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Kenny going deep right now. Kenny went deep on that one. I like it. All right.
Just call him Amazon. He always delivers.
Thank you.
I like that.
Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5, The Game. It is Hockey Eve, hockey fans. Yes, indeed. I don't care if it's exhibition hockey. It's hockey tomorrow. And you know what? Have you noticed the games tomorrow? I mean, these aren't exactly games that normally cause problems in a normal preseason. Philly-Pittsburgh.
Mm.
Calgary-Edmonton. I mean, there's a couple of good ones tomorrow.
Yeah, they're good ones, but they're only for their seeding, so...
Well, they're not. Still, it's just exhibition at this point. These are just preseason games. These are warm-up games, but like I said, it'll just be good to see the puck drop and watch some doggone hockey.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
All right, we got two more series to talk about. Let's get to the 8-9 matchup in the West. We've got the... Boy, this is going to be fun. Canada versus Canada. It's Canadian on Canada. Hab on Hab crime. Here we go. Calgary and Winnipeg. Pretty close. Jets finished with 80 points. Flames finished with 79. The Jets won the only head-to-head that they played this year. Zach, what do you think?
Connor Hellebuck, two words. Jets in four, move on.
Damn. Coach?
Jets in four. Move on.
I don't see Calgary being there. Johnny Gaudreau has looked disinterested and kind of done with being in Calgary.
Year, yeah.
Psst, come to Nashville. But, I mean, at the same time, you look at these teams, the way they're built, the way they look together, and I don't see how you can't pick Winnipeg just looking at the firepower.
Yeah. I appreciate that, but talk about a team that has looked disinterested all year. Yeah. I mean, the Winnipeg Jets – look, they're going to get, you know, they get back Brian Little, okay? They get back Nikolaj Ehlers. I mean, you know,
they had a lot of injuries.
There's no question. Yeah. But you know what? The one name that I don't see on here that I think could have made a difference is the one that, you know, you think is spelled Buffflin. No Dustin Byfuglien, and I think missing, you know, you remember all the drama last year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know,
and
I think
there was no defenseman at the time.
And I don't think they have replaced. I think this is a weaker team defensively than Calgary. I think that Connor Hellebuck has covered for a multitude of sins.
Absolutely.
No question about that.
I think he can do it for at least four games.
And you know what? I'm going to go with Winnipeg, but it wouldn't surprise me if Calgary pulls the upset here.
Calgary's my hometown, and I love the Flames because I grew up there, but I just can't see. They just haven't. Monahan's a good player, but he's not a great player, and the rest of them have had good years, but not great
years.
But then their goaltender has been off and on. You know,
Rittich has been okay.
Really good.
Talbot's been okay.
It seems that Rittich is number one here now.
They've got great defense. I mean, Mark Giordano is a stud on the back end.
No question.
What they've got there. It's just the offensive firepower and Connor Hellebuck alone. That's what gets me for Winnipeg.
Okay,
me too.
And again, I'm agreeing, but
we pushed into it, didn't we?
You did. I was
bullying
embarrassed.
Works.
I'm going with the crowd. Okay, 6-11. Your Nashville Predators versus the Arizona Coyotes. We've been talking about it. We've been breaking it down since we found out about it almost, 6 weeks ago? We're almost there. Sunday, 1 o'clock face-off. Zach, what do you think?
I'll be honest. My heart says Arizona. Just from the matchups that I've seen these two teams play over the last few years, the way that Arizona always just seems to bring out the worst in us and the best in them, I want to say that. But looking at every statistical measure, it's hard not to like Nashville in this series. I think they have the better forward group. Overwhelmingly the better forward group. Just between you have players in down years who are pretty much stars in this league in Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, Victor Arvidsson, Matt Duchene, Mikael Granlund, and Kyle Turris. And that's just, the top six. You look at those players, you have, I think, a better defensive core. You have one of the best pairs in the league in Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis. And depending on who gets the start in net, I think that's the only place that you can give a definitive edge to Arizona, because I think both Darcy Kemper and Antti Raanta are an excellent tandem as well. And I think Kemper's one of the better goaltenders in the whole league. All that to say, I got to go Nashville in five.
There you go.
Yeah.
You came close.
I did.
You walked right up to the edge.
Right up to the line.
I'm not trying to follow you around, but I'm going Nashville in five because of our depth. That's just, you know, the goaltending is pretty well even, and you might give a little, you know, to little.
I don't know if you. I don't know if you give the edge. I think Darcy Kemper is getting way too much credit.
Yeah,
here. He has never performed in the playoffs.
You're right.
But neither has Juuse Saros.
So yeah,
Juuse's been in mop up work. I mean, the reality is Kemper's been a starter.
Right.
We
won't give the edge to anybody.
I think it's a push it
defensively as a group. You got to go with Phoenix or Arizona as a group. I'm talking as a group. The forwards are coming back and doing the talk. He's very strict and they have to do this and that. And they're very tough to beat. They're like Barry Trotz's teams from earlier in the years
when they didn't have as much. Goski, like Chychrun. I mean, they have some really stout defenders.
Exactly. So that's why I'm saying that. I think it's pretty even defensively. But with our four lines, and if everybody plays up to par. Our first six that you mentioned, and then you got Colton Sissons and Yarncroc and Watson on the fourth line, then you got
the
Bonino's
line.
Bonino's line. So there's four lines he can throw over ice against anybody, anytime, any one time he wants. That. He doesn't have to overplay people. He doesn't have
to roll the four. Yeah.
And all the statistics say this that we're going to win except for the power play. Their power play is a little bit higher than ours, but they're who's singing to me in the
I think my computer is.
Oh, okay. So I just think and the Predators are going to win in five. I'm going to say that.
That is the question that has been plaguing this Nashville team for years. Can their top players play up to potential?
I wrote about it on Hockey Buzz earlier late last week. I absolutely believe. I mean, look, I think the goaltending is going to be there. And I'm sorry, if it's either one of them for this first-round series, I think the goaltender is going to be there. I think the defense is going to be there. I'm sorry. I think it's hard to call him an X factor, but it is absolutely a determining factor. I think if the Jofa line can recapture some of the 2017 magic, I mean, because we've all said this, in looking at the Golden Classics as we watched, you know, during the pause, that line was flipping dominant.
They were the best line in the league.
And at that point, you had all three of them firing. And you know, for each one of them, I mean, for Forsberg to bring his physicality along with his skill, for Arvidsson to bring his, you know, weebles wobble, but they don't fall down attitude. And this time he's coming in with rest. He's not coming in at the end of an 82-game grind.
Felt like it for him.
Exactly. And then you've got Ryan Johansson that, quite frankly, he's got a bee in his bonnet right now. And I like that because when he plays with attitude, he plays with a little bit of piss and vinegar, Ryan Johansson can be a force on the ice. I think the Jofa line is the key for the Nashville Predators.
Playoff Johansson, that is the straw that stirs the drink for the Nashville Predators. So you can look back on the tape. I said that earlier this year. I think if he comes in ready to play, that's some leadership right there. And I mean,
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think this thing goes past four.
Really?
I don't. I think that you know what? I've often said that I believe that a team with a chip on its shoulder always comes in with a nut, you know, with a little bit of an attitude.
Yeah.
And I think this team's got a chip on its shoulder right now.
And you do kind of get a sense of just happy to be here from Arizona.
You do. Yeah. You do. You get that. It's like, oh, we didn't expect to be here. We wouldn't have been in the playoffs anyway. Wasn't it nice because they wanted to get Chicago and Montreal and that we managed to come in.
Well, I think that...
I'm sorry. I say that out loud?
I think the players and the coaching staff have to realize that it's not going to be easy, but they still, if they play their best, they will win. But you can't get frustrated with this team. They'll check you to death.
Sure.
They'll back up and check it, just like Tippett did against us
in 12.
And that was 12, the last time Arizona was in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right. This is the first time they played, and they got beat out by LA after us, and LA won the cup that year.
I mean, when you look at that, I think that's the X factor at this point. You have an experienced playoff team versus a team that hasn't been there as a group.
I don't know if playoff experience is as big of a deal in this setting.
It may not be because you're not going to have the crowds. You're not going to have the media
attention.
There's
so many outside distractions that you're not going to have. And you got to come to the rink and you got to focus on playing the game in a different way.
It's playoff summer camp.
You know what? I'm very, very happy to be able to say this. Hockey's back, baby. Tomorrow,
that's right.
3:00, face off on the NHL Network. Woo-hoo. Philadelphia and Pittsburgh playing an exhibition game. Should be a good time. And you know what? Guess what? You've just wasted another hour with Slapshot Radio, and we're glad you did. Thanks for joining us. We're back here next week at 7 p.m., breaking down everything from Game 1, getting you ready for Game 2 and Game 3. A big, big thank you to Bob Heathouse for joining us tonight, and also a big thank you to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. When you visit one of our sponsors, make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio. For our producer, Kenny, our co-hosts, Brent Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night. And good hockey.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save